It's always such a special time to have Dee with us. Dee, we appreciate that so much. Today, right quick, with the message, you know, I always feel it's very important that when I do a message, I honor God. And it's to Him that all the glory goes to. But Lord saw fit. Lord saw fit. Yeah, well, there we go. Got that in there. To allow my mother and Jerry to come down for Jacob's birthday, so now I got to preach with my mama sitting in here, so you know I'm under the gun. So I got to make sure I behave myself, right? You think it's tough to sing in a big audience. Wait till your mama's there. All right. In the book of Exodus, we have been doing a series on the Ten Commandments. This is the last of the ten. And by no means is it the least. I think you're going to see, although this is one that we'll talk about here in a minute, how it's viewed in our world. But as I study this, and I want to take just a minute to talk to you about it, God in His infinite wisdom, you know, He always, as He teaches and He brings things about, God always comes around to make it complete. And just as He started the first of the Ten Commandments to say that He was our God, that we should love Him with all of our hearts, we should not have any other God but Him, He closes it because in that first commandment, that encompassed everything that was going forward. Because if we put all our love in Him, then really you have no need of the rest of the nine because you're going to focus where He would have you. But also with number 10, what He does, and God is in His perfection, He brings a culmination of all of those nine that were before Him and wraps it back up and puts it into a solid package. And you'll see that today. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Now, if you recall on the first of these, we have promises made in the Ten Commandments. We also look that if we honor our father and our mother, that our days may be long. He'd give us a promise there. There was in the third commandment, the fact that we service and we give tribute to other idols, whether that be music. Country music, as Dee was talking about, or in our wages, or how that we do business, or anything. But if we place any other idol and do not do God's will, you remember God says in His verses that it will trickle down into the third and the fourth generation. We talked about that. As we move on down to the sixth commandment, we know that our laws are based on the Ten Commandments. It says, thou shalt not kill. We know in this country it's a possibility if you kill someone, you can receive life in prison up to your own life being taken in that. Thou shalt not steal. We know that we can go to jail today if you steal. So all of these begin to have consequences. But probably the one that is the most liberal of all that we see in our world today is the last. Thou shalt not covet. And it listed through the neighbor's wife and the maidservant and the animals and all like that. But break it down to real simple. It says, thou shalt not covet. See, if we run back through the others, the reason it culminates about is most of the time where Satan really begins to attack you and I with temptation is you begin to look at what around you, what others have, and we begin to desire to have it. That is coveting. Now, I realize not all of us would want to have a shirt like Bill's. But some of us could like that shirt so much, they covet. And say, gee, I wished I had one of Bill's Flaherty shirts. You move from heathen to the point of covetousness. See, you've done well. But we begin to look at things around us. Today's business is that way. It is not sufficient for what God has given us. But we look to try to be, that we're not satisfied with what He's given us. We want more of it. In business, it's not good enough to be a millionaire. You are to be a billionaire. And from that, where does it stop? It's continual of more and more and more and more. We desire more and more things. If we see one of our friends gets a new vehicle, well, I got to have one that's newer and bigger and better than that one. And our whole society is based on that. And in fact, when you see someone who took a business and they not only got and they conquered over other business, beginning the takeovers, we see that every day in business. Not only do we look at where the business was, we applaud those people who have the tenacity to go and get a bigger business and to absorb all of the little businesses and make a big mega business. Financiers tell us that that's the way to do it. Create a portfolio that goes beyond all comprehension, is in every area, so that you have your hands and you touch into all things. But that is the way of the world, not the way of God. Jesus showed this while He walked on the face of this earth about coveting. Look at it, and it really begins to stand out. As I looked at this, it stood out and it made me really realize that. That Jesus talked about it in a parable over in the book of Luke. Luke 12. Jesus gives us a parable in Luke 12, beginning in the 13th verse. And it runs down through the 21st verse. And He talks about the man who, what He called the rich fool. And He begins to talk about that this man had barns and God had given him a good crop and a good harvest. And that he looked at those that harvest and he said, well, then I'll build bigger barns. And therefore I need to get more field to have more crops to fill the bigger barns. And then the parable continues on as the Lord talked about it with His disciples and the people around Him and said, well, I'm going to build even bigger barns. There was never an end to it. So first of all, the 10th commandment relates back to the very first commandment, which says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and we shall have no other gods before Him in the second commandment. You see, oftentimes we take the things that God has given us and we allow that to begin to be our drive, that we want more and more. And before long, the riches and the things and the blessings that God has given us, we begin to shove the Word of God out of the way and go for those things. We begin to shove God out of the way. And our focus changes from God, the Creator who gives all things, into what we can make with our own hands and what we can do with our own hands. So it attacks the very first one, because that's the ploy that Satan uses, is right here on number 10. Isn't it ironic that the last spoken word that God gave in His rules is do not covet? He knew. He knew where it was headed. As it continues on, the other thing here that Jesus talks about in this parable, know that the rich man looks forward to the day and says, I will make these things for the future. In verse 19, it says, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. We see that today even. People are more worried about today, about planning for their future and taking care of retirement years. Not that that's not good, don't misunderstand me. But we get so consumed with I have to do things today, we fail to enjoy today for itself. Everything begins about today for the future. I would almost bet there are almost every one of you in this room know of someone who looked so forward to retirement and planned on that and got all of their portfolio and everything ready so they could retire, and within just a few months of retirement they were dead. Know folks like that? So all that they planned on, how did they get to enjoy it? And yet all of their lives they sacrificed and scrimped and saved and did nothing whatsoever of enjoyment while they were living. Because they all planned on doing all of the enjoyment at retirement. Don't misconstrue. God give us a brain that we prepare for the future, but we take it to the extremes. The very first murder that we incorporate into the Scripture, we find that it's Cain when he kills Abel, right? Why? Because he coveted the response that God gave to Abel's true heart in giving. Back to number 10, the coveting. That prompted him to kill. Do we not see that daily in our lives? We have people who take other people's lives in the middle of a robbery because they want what they have. We see also with number 10, it talks about do not covet the wife of another, of your neighbor, or the husband. Gee, that ties right back to the other commandment about thou shalt not commit adultery, doesn't it? We talk about their property, their donkey, their ox, or whatever. Gee, that ties right back to thou shalt not steal. You see how God made them all incorporate right back to number 10? From the very beginning of number 1, if you keep your focus on Him, you don't have to worry about the violation of the other 9. But if you lose that focus with number 10, He brought it back and He said, here's the trigger. This is the bait that Satan will always use to you and I. The mere falling of mankind, if you think about it for a minute, Satan used number 10 right here. What did he tell Adam and Eve? God doesn't want you to eat of the fruit of that tree because then he knows you will be as smart as he is. And in their mind, they begin to covet that knowledge to be godlike. And so we eat of the fruit and the fall occurred. See, God had a reason for telling us, thou shalt not covet. Because he knew we begin to get the focus. Scripture tells us in 1 Timothy 6:17. It is written in 1 Timothy 6:17 that we need to focus on the blessings that we have for today and to enjoy those. Enjoy those blessings. 6:17, as it writes here, it says, command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. See, there's nothing wrong with enjoying material things. God provided a way for you and I to have those. Verse 18, let them do good, they that be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. What God already saw in the future in mind and you, and knowing the human nature because He created us and knew what we were capable of, He saw the things that by the coveting, you and I would look more towards the material things than the things of God. And He tried through, we've talked all the way through, that these commandments, rather than viewing them as rules of what we can or cannot do, they are guidelines for what keeps you and I in the will of God. His whole desire is to keep us within the bounds that we can have fellowship with Him. To keep us in the bounds that things are leveled out. We don't let things of this world get more important than what is really important in the things of God. That we don't allow our lives to be so consumed with all of the work and all of the stress and all of the things that it carries in this day's life that we forget and worried about the future, we forget about today to say, you know, Lord, you've really blessed me. I may not be the richest, I may not have all the money, I may not have all the new gadgets, but Lord, you have given me my health, you've given me a good family, you have given me so much, and I need to take pause and thank you for that and enjoy that today. Today. You know what it said, even in the midst when we took the Lord's Supper earlier today. Did you notice what the Scripture said? That when our Lord took the bread and He talked to His disciples, He gave thanks before He ever did anything else. Even knowing impending what He was fixing to face, that His crucifixion was at hand, He gave thanks. Even in the midst of pain and strife and trouble that you and I have, God has so blessed us, we need to give thanks. To give that thanks. And to say, Lord, no matter what, Thank you for today. Jesus also tells us there in Luke, and the scriptures right on down from that parable begins to talk about worry. And he says, don't be concerned about tomorrow. Care for today. Worry about today. Worry about thanking God enough for today. Worry about enjoying what God has given you enough today. You know, when you start looking at it, that's no longer a worry. That's a pleasure. Not be worried about what somebody else has and whether or not you have it or whether or not you can achieve it. God blesses them in their own way. He knows what is best for them, but He also knows what is best for you and I. And that's why the talents aren't the same. He knows those that He's given certain talents to will use it in that manner. He has specific things for you and I in other manners. Each one of us is a masterpiece. The great architect created you and I individually for a reason. And He matches us up with talents and matches us up with people so that together we can form a unity that glorifies Him and tells others about Him. Thou shalt not covet becomes to be the culmination of all things. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, as we close here. Matthew 13 and verse 22. Jesus is telling a parable about sowing the seeds. About that some of the seeds fell on good soil. Some of the seeds fell on thorny soil. Some of the seeds were choked out because of weeds. Others got good water and nourishment. In verse 22 says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares of this world. And the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. All those many years ago that God laid down the Ten Commandments, and all the many years ago from that time until Jesus spoke, until our time, the truth has never changed. If you and I covet, we begin to choke the Word of God out of our lives because our focus shifts from the Father to the things of this world. And all of the other nine previous commandments then begin to come subject for us to violate as well and put our life on a downward, constant spiral to hit rock bottom. That was never God's intent. He wants you and I to be built up, to serve Him, to praise Him, to give Him the glory He is due, that He in turn can give you and I all of the blessings of this life and all of eternity. That starts by knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. If you do not know Jesus Christ today, we're going to give you that opportunity. Maybe some of you know Jesus Christ, but because of different things that have taken place in your life, you have strayed away and you've lost that focus. You've gotten caught in that, in the devil's trap of wanting to covet all the things of this world. Just like the rich man, you can build all of the barns and are never able to enjoy all that you thought you were going to enjoy because you can't take it with you. Jesus said the things that we build should not be of this world, but to put up in heaven, a treasure for all of eternity. That's the focus. That's where it begins. The joy that we heard Bill talk about in that 15 minutes a brand new Christian is telling another. That's joy. That's riches. That's not for the future. That's for today. But you also take care of a part of their future. Because forever, they'll be part of God's family in that adoption. We have all the things that our Father has by coming through Jesus Christ to the Father. If you bow your head and close your eyes,